All right, so I want to start off by asking a question today. What is your greatest fear? If you're in a home church with a group of people, feel free to pause and talk a little bit about that. We all have fears that we have to face sometimes. And recently, just a couple weeks ago, our youth group had to face their fears. We went up to Camp Kiwanis, and they have a whole bunch of crazy things up there that these kids have to do. One day, we had to, they have these giant 60-foot telephone poles. And they have these little pegs sticking out of them, and kids had to climb all the way up this 60-foot pole and then get hooked into this harness and go ziplining through the forest. There's another one where you just go on a swing, and this tractor with this pulley system pulls you up 80 feet in the air, and then one of the kids has to pull a ripcord thing, and then you go swinging through the forest. Other kids just hang out on a tube, and then they get attached to a speedboat that goes ripping around the ocean, and they have to hold on for their dear lives as they do this. And for some of you, that sounds like a lot of fun, and for others of you, that probably sounds terrifying. One of the days, it was our turn to go up on the giant swing, and we had two very brave students who were up to do this, and they decided to go all the way up to the top, 80 feet up in the air, and they're sitting on this swing, and they're holding on as tight as they can, and one of the kids pulls the cord, and they both start free-falling, but one of them, as tight of a grip as he had, he let go, and he fell about 2 inches until the harness caught him, and then with a giant wedgie, he was swinging through the forest. And that happens all the time. I've been to Kiwanis a bunch, and kids always lose their grip of this swing, and then the harness every time catches them, and they swing through the air, and it's still actually a pretty good time. I was thinking, how crazy of a ride would that be if Camp Kiwanis just said, oh, you better hold on really tight to this swing because if you fall, it's 80 feet down to the ground. Kiwanis would never do that. However, whenever I'm there, I always have to check. And you can ask the kids, when we went up to Kiwanis, I was checking every time to make sure that I'm hooked in, all safe, and then I'm hugging the tree to make sure that everything, no matter what happens, that I'm going to be safe. And obviously, every time, of course, I'm hooked in, they would never forget to do that. But because I'm paranoid, I need to check for some reason. And it's that attitude that I have that helps me understand the Old Testament stories a little bit better. It seems like so many times throughout the Bible, God does this amazing miracle, and he shows his people in the most amazing way that he's there with them through it all. And then right after that, they end up doubting and think, hey, I know God's come through and he's caught me every time, but maybe not this time, so I'm scared, and I don't know if he'll do it again, even though he always does. Just going to bring us to our story here, but before we get to our story, I just want to give a bit of a history, a few stories before we get to the story that we're going to camp out on. Starts off with the Israelites being slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And God's called Moses to lead his people out of slavery. Pharaoh, leader of Egypt, doesn't like that idea too much. So God ends up sending 12 plagues down to Egypt until Pharaoh finally decides to let Moses and his people free. So they do that, and they're running away. But then Pharaoh changes his mind. And then with the world's only superpower, he starts chasing Moses and his people. And they get to a point where they have this army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, and they're trapped. And God comes in the most amazing way. He defies gravity and walls of water on both sides of the Israelites as they walk through on dry land through the Red Sea. Every Israelite saw that. That's amazing. And then as soon as they were through, God closed it up so they could be free from slavery. Every one of them saw that happen. And then right after that, they get hungry, and they're like, oh, there was some good snacks back in Egypt. God, can you just like open the Red Sea again so we can walk back that way to get some food? Then God's like, no, I just freed you. Here's the thing, okay? I know you're hungry. How about I just make it rain down bread from heaven for you, okay? I'll do that 6 days a week, and I'll give you twice as much on Saturday so you don't need to do any work on Sunday. Fantastic. And then they have the audacity to say, hey, God, I'm kind of bored of bread right now. Do you have anything else? Like, what do you have for us? And he sends them quail. And this happens every day, 6 days a week, for a year. They have seen God perform a miracle every day of their life. And that's where we get to our story today. Moses is about to lead his people into Canaan, the promised land, the land that God had promised them for centuries. And he gathers 12 spies. So he's got 10 here. These two guys don't look like they're paying much attention, but that's fine. So he says, go out into this land. Find out what's there. Find out if the land's good, if they have a lot of good fruit and stuff. Find out if the people living there are big and strong, or if they're weak, or find out what kind of defenses they have, if they have big, strong walls or not. And he sends them out. And first off, they find that the land there is fantastic. These two guys here, they find some big, tasty grapes. And it said they're so big that two people had to carry these grapes. So these grapes don't quite do it justice there. And everybody knows, with grapes, tip for you all, the bigger the grapes are, the tastier they are. That's just a fact. So they have these big, tasty grapes, and 40 days they come out, and they come back to Moses. And Moses is like, hey, how was the land? And they look at these grapes. They're super tasty. And he said, okay, well, tell me, what else did you find? They said, well, Moses, people there were really big and really tall, and it was scary, and they looked like really strong. So I think we should just head back to Egypt because it's too scary. But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, they stood up and said, no, we can do this. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored was a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. So those two guys saw the same thing as everybody else. They saw the same scary people. They saw the same armies, but they didn't give in to their fear. So how were Caleb and Joshua able to see the same thing as everyone else, but not give in to their fear and be confident that God was going to give them the land that he had promised them, even though it looked scary? Well, first off, they trusted what they had already seen God do. God had come through for them time and time again, from splitting the sea to freeing them from slavery to raining down bread from heaven. They knew that God was with them in this mission. I don't know about you, I haven't seen that obvious or amazing of a miracle in my lifetime. I've never had God defy gravity and have water shoot up on both sides of me. I've had a lot of water come down on my head as rain. I've never had bread come down as rain. I would love to one day, but that's just not in the stars for me, apparently. But there are moments in my life where I've seen God at work, and I remind myself to hold on to those moments when it seems like God might be far away. I've seen God use the worst moments of my life to give me experience to help people through the worst moments of their lives. I've seen God use my poor choices to end up bringing people to come to know Jesus. As a kid, I wasted tens of thousands of hours on this one video game growing up. Complete waste of time. But I got very good at this one game, so good that I actually got opportunities to go to tournaments. And then I met new people at those tournaments. And from those relationships, people ended up coming to know Jesus. Isn't that amazing how God works? That he uses my mistakes, my wasting of my time, to end up bringing people to come to know him. I've seen God do many other amazing things in my life, but they aren't fully my stories to share. And when it seems like God's far away, I hold on to the amazing things that I've seen God do. That's what Caleb and Joshua were able to do. They looked back at all the miracles they had seen God do, and they trusted that God was in that. So what have you seen God do in your life? Are there things in your life that maybe you end up just chalking up to crazy coincidences, or was it God working in your life? Maybe God's placed someone in your life at a certain time, or maybe taken you out of a certain situation. If you look back at your life, you will see times where God has done something amazing in your life, and I encourage you to hold on to that. Believe it. That's what Caleb and Joshua did. And coming out from that, the second point is really very similar. Caleb and Joshua trusted in what they had seen God do, and they believed that God would do it again. They had faith that God would do it again. When we read through stories through Scripture, we can hear other stories of people around us, of God working amazing things in their life. We can look back at our own experiences and see what God has done. And we can believe that God will do it again. At SBC, that's actually a prayer of ours. We look back at Scripture, we look at the early church, and see how God did amazing things and amazing miracles so that people would come to know him in fantastic ways. And we say here at SBC, God, do it again. God, we want to see what you did there again. And that's what happened here. God wanted to do another miracle for the Israelites as they prepared to move into the land that God had promised them. Most of them thought God wouldn't do it again, but two of them believed that God had great things for their future. They believed in God's promises, they believed in what they had seen God do, and they believed that he would do it again. So, who are we here in the story? Are we the 10 here who think, you know what, I've seen God do some great things, I've maybe read about God doing some great things, but I don't believe that he's going to do it in my life? Or are we the two who believe that, yes, we've seen God do it, and we believe that he's going to do it again? So the story goes on. After the 12 spies gave the report, the majority here, all the people who were listening in, they come back, and there's a bunch of other people around, maybe some little kids too. We'll throw them in there, hanging out by the grapes, that's fine. And they give the report, and 10 of them said, this is too scary. We're not going to be able to do this. Two of them said, you know, trust in God. We can do this. God has promised them he wants to do another miracle right now. But the people decided to side with the 10 instead of the two who believed. And then, for 40 years, they waited in the desert. And every adult among them ended up dying in that desert. All of them. And they didn't get to live in the promises that God had for them. But there were two. There were two who believed that God had promised them this land. And they were the only two that were able to enter into that promised land. Everyone else let fear get in the way of living out God's promises for them. In the same way, we can let fear get in the way of us living out God's promises that he has for us. And I get it. Life can be scary. Maybe starting a home church, maybe that's something on your heart right now. That can be very scary. Talking to your neighbor about what you believe can be scary. Tithing can be scary. Inviting your friend to youth group can be scary. But we can remember as Christ followers, all of those scary things that we do, we're harnessed in. We're not just told to go hold on to that swing with all of our grip as God asks us to do these crazy things. We know that if we're living out in the promises that God has for us, we're harnessed in, we're safe, and God loves us. Which brings me to my third point, and maybe the most important one, is Caleb and Joshua trusted in God's promises. God had promised them this land for centuries. All the way back to Abraham, God said, your descendants are going to have this land. The Israelites are going to have this land. This wasn't just some of their own ideas, think, hey, we're going to go take this land. This was a promise to them from God. So they don't need to be afraid. And in the same way, we don't need to be afraid if we're living God's promises for us. There's promises all throughout Scripture that God makes to us. I encourage you to look into them, Google God's promises, speak them to yourself. I tell myself Proverbs 29:25 almost on a daily basis. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. On a normal Sunday when I come up here to speak, you're all here and you're sitting down and you're smiling and you're sipping your coffee and you're all wonderful people, and I come up here and you terrify me. Nothing about you. It's all my fault. Don't worry. I come up and I tell myself, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. And I live differently because I believe that promise from God to me. Today, pretty much nobody here, but I don't know who's watching this on the internet. That's really scary. So I tell myself before this today, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. And I come up here and I do this and I live differently because I believe that promise from God to me. Caleb and Joshua lived differently because they believed that God had promised them that land, so they knew that they were going to be safe doing it. I want to invite up Kim right now, and I want to share some more promises from God to you. These are promises that I encourage you, maybe just one or two of these, to hold on to them. Speak them to yourself on a regular basis. Live them out and then live differently, believing that these promises are directly from God to you. So here are a few promises for you to hold on to this week, today, this year, throughout your lives, hopefully. Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He'll not rebuke you for asking. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This last promise is found in Joshua 1:9. And this is 40 years after Joshua has been in the desert. The old generation is gone and the new generation has come up. And he's preparing this new generation to enter into God's promised land, enter into God's promises that he has for each and every one of them. And he reminds them of this promise from God to them. And I want to read it from God to you right now. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.